Hi, this is Lauren from Discovery Church. Thanks for taking time to listen to this week's podcast. We hope that you find value and that is very impactful to your life today. Have a great one.
But we've been in a series on the Beatitudes, living right side up in an upside down world. And this is week four. But in this series, we've been teaching and reflecting and learning and allowing God to transform, renew us, what we said the very first week, to renovate our lives, to get us become a fully engaged follower of Jesus. The Beatitudes is one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, and it's where Jesus speaks on the mount. And this is what it reads in Matthew 5. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.'" That's the one we're talking about today. And then it goes on to say, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Each and every week, we've said this at the beginning. There's a couple of things to make sure that we understand before we jump into learning about the Beatitudes. And the very first thing that we need to understand that this is not things are not things that make us Christian. The Beatitudes are not things that make us Christian. But if we are Christian, if we've given our lives to Christ, these are things that Jesus turns us into. He's transforming us from the inside out. What we like to say at Discovery Church, these are things that will happen in our lives when we're becoming fully engaged followers of Jesus. This is not what Jesus is looking for. This is what Jesus will accomplish within us. He's not looking for people with these traits. He's looking for people that will say yes to him. And as we journey to be more like Jesus, these are the traits that will be in us to reflect Jesus. Another one to understand about this is that blessedness is not a feeling. It's not more possessions. Blessedness is not happiness. Even though many translations use the word blessed or happy are those, because there's the word that is translated from is called Makarios. And Makarios doesn't translate really well to the English language, but this is what we've kind of understood it to be more closer to, almost like a congratulations from God, like a congratulations, right on, son or daughter. You know, I'm so proud of you. That is what is being said here. So I'm so proud. It's congratulations. And the goal to this whole series would be this. This is a goal that I want us to all walk away with, is that we would be confident that God is forming these Beatitudes in us, so we can impact the world around us. That we'd be confident that God is forming these Beatitudes in us so we can impact the world around us. See, we've said it many times that Jesus didn't come just to save us, but he came that we would have life and life to the full. And often we think that that moment of salvation is the end all be all. And I get it, it's the coming from death into life, coming from darkness into light. I understand that is our access to heaven when we give our lives to Christ. But God's got so much more for us beyond just the salvation moment. He wants to shape us again into fully engaged followers of Jesus. So as we jump in today, can we pray right where you are, whether or not you're at home, watching from your couch, maybe you're at the office, maybe you're at the lake, maybe you're camping, maybe you're catching this later in the week. Can we pray and ask God to shape us, give him permission for him to shape these Beatitudes in us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we jump into the fourth Beatitude, God, pray that we would give you permission to shape us on the inside, so we can change the world and lives on the outside. So God, as we often pray, let anything that is of me just be set aside. But anything that is of the Holy Spirit, would you reign true? Would you speak? Would that real roots in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Fourth Beatitude says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Many translations actually translate filled to be satisfied. So if you were to use that, it would be blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who are righteous, or blessed are those who have a place of righteousness. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And as I read that, I read that as more like, blessed are those who have a desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And this is such a beautiful picture of the gospel, because it's not by anything that we do or anything that we have done. But when we give our lives to Christ, he imputes his righteousness to us. In return, he takes the sin of the world, our sins, and he dies a criminal's death on the cross so we can be made righteous, not by anything that we did. But this beatitude, when Jesus spoke it on the mountain, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, implying that we are unrighteous. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, implying that there is a desire for righteousness, implying that we are unrighteous. But with God's help, if we come, as we talked about, poor in spirit the very first week, if we come open-handed saying, God, I'm nothing without you. I've got nothing to give, recognizing our need for a Savior, then we desire righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, speaking of something that we desire. Track back with me to a few years ago, to the year 1 BC. All the way back to Genesis 1, all the way back to the beginning of time. Genesis 1 says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first day, if you know the creation story, you know that the first day, light was created. The second day, the sky was created. If this is the first time you've heard the creation story, welcome. I hope you learned this today. Again, first day, light was created. Second day, the sky was created. The third day, the land, the sea, the plants, and trees were created. The fourth day, the sun, moon, stars were created. The fifth day, creatures that live in the sea and creatures that flew were created. The sixth day, animals that lived on the land. And finally, humans were created. And the Bible says that man was made in the image of God. Let us make man in our image. So it says, and then seventh day, God finished his work of creation and he rested. That's the first two chapters. If you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, that's what you will find. You'll find the creation story. And then in chapter 3, sin enters. Now, I don't know how much physical time happened between chapter 2 and chapter 3. I don't. I wasn't there in the Garden of Eden. But as we read it, as now being people 2,000 years, a lot more years removed from it, but we get to read it, one chapter, two chapters, three chapters, and we actually read it in one sitting. First two chapters is a creation story. Third chapter, sin enters the world. And here's what happened. When sin entered, our appetites changed. What we desire changed. Our desires became twisted. But Jesus, when he came, made a way for our desires to be repaired. See, our human appetites at its root, at the sinful being that humans are, that's why we need Jesus, because we are sinful. Our human appetites pull towards things that are unrighteous. But again, when we come to God poor in spirit, God, I've got nothing to offer, recognizing our need for your Savior, what happens in that moment is that he begins to rearrange and prepare and repair our appetites. We move from thinking and living like the world, where everything is about us. We move, when we give our lives to Christ, he begins to repair, he begins to rewire our minds, he begins to rewire what's important to us. We move from thinking and living like the world to thinking like Christ and living for a world that's beyond this physical world. We begin living for eternity. we begin living right side up in what would be a really upside down world if we were to look at Jesus' teachings. See, the world would look at the Beatitudes and say, man, that seems strange. That's not the way I live. But we know the way of Jesus actually brings life and life to the full. And honestly, if we're a follower of Jesus, if you're watching today, if you're listening anywhere, if you've made a decision to give your life to Christ, even though it might not make logical sense as a human, the reality of it is that our hope and our direction needs to be in the words of Scripture, in the words of Jesus. And even though these Beatitudes might seem a little upside down, if you're a follower of Jesus, we say they're right side up, and the ways of the world are upside down. Because he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, for they will be satisfied. And my prayer for us today as we continue is that we would enter into a life where we're satisfied. Not satisfied based on the world standards, but satisfied because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, because that's what God says. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied, you will be filled. See, the world tells us that satisfaction is found in more possessions, more education, more money, more vacations, more relationships, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on to the next thing that we think will satisfy us. Worldly appetites. This is what, catch this. Worldly appetites screams, what we have now is not enough. Worldly appetites never satisfy. This is, I had this picture when I was planning this message. It's kind of like, worldly appetites is like this. You're going to Costco and doing a huge Costco run for groceries for your family for the month, and you have two carts filled with Costco groceries. You go home and you pack your refrigerator full, and the moment that you get your refrigerator full, you go and you're hungry, and you open up the refrigerator, and it feels like nothing is there. There's lots there in front of you, but not like your desire, what you want, you didn't pick up. That's what worldly appetites are like. It seems like there's a lot in your refrigerator, but you know that none of it is satisfying. Everything you think you could possibly want is there, but you know that there's something that is still missing. Because Jesus says that the only thing that satisfies is righteousness. The only thing that satisfies. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, for they will be satisfied. So as I look at this beatitude specifically, I have two questions. Two questions come to mind. One is, what is righteousness? And two, how do I move towards righteousness? What is righteousness, and how do I move towards righteousness? So let's answer those today. At its basic definition of righteousness is this: being morally right or justifiable. Be morally right or justifiable. Now, you're like, well, what does that mean? Let's dive in there. The specific Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Like I said, it refers to a desire for, or the equality of being morally right or justifiable. A desire to be right. Not from a self, church, hear me, not from a self-righteous perspective, being like, I'm better than others, I'm right. We have a lot of that going around. That's not what he's mentioning here. But when we give our lives to Christ, there is a way that God calls us to live. And it's not out of religion that we pursue these rights or wrongs or these rules. It's not out of religion. See, there's nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. When we give our lives to Christ, salvation moment is not, there's nothing dependent upon it other than us just saying, hey, I'm a sinful person, I need a Savior. What we've gotten mixed up in the past is that sometimes we're like, well, I need to do all these things and all these rules for God to love me. That's not the case. Your salvation, my salvation, our salvation is secure when we've given our lives to Christ. But because of our relationship, because of our love for our Heavenly Father, our love for Jesus, it actually inspires us to live in a right way. And where do we find that right way? Scripture. See, we often fall short of those standards, but even though we fall short of those standards, we can still hunger and thirst for righteousness. We can still hunger and thirst for what is right. We can still have a desire to live in a right way. See, when someone is hungry or thirsty, what's happening is their bodies are giving them strong cues that sometimes, if you're really hungry, you might be hangry. It could be painful. And what your body is saying, hey, my body needs something. Give your body something so you're not hungry anymore. When your body is hungry or thirsty, there's not longing for some random thing. It's longing for some nourishment. It's longing for some food. It's longing for something to quench the thirst because your body is in need of something that's necessary. When you're hungry or thirsty, you're not in need of something that's not unnecessary. But you're in need of something that's necessary because your body requires it to continue to still be in existence as an essential part. When your body gives you hunger pains or you're thirsty, it is telling you that you need something to live. What Jesus is saying here is a good thing. And he's saying that God notices when someone begins to say, hey, my body is missing something. My soul is missing something. I have a desire. I have a yearning. I have a hunger for what is right. I have a hunger for what God says a Christian is supposed to be, what a Christian is supposed to look like. Not before man. This is not to prove ourselves to man or not to turn something into a religion of right or wrong. And again, God's love is not dependent upon if you do something or don't do something. But our love for God should give us a desire for more of God that drives us to righteousness, to what is right. And again, it's not these lists of do's and don'ts. But as we become fully engaged followers of Jesus, our desire is to honor our Heavenly Father. And when He gives us a way of Christian living, we don't just ignore that. I pray and hope that our hearts and lives desire it, that we would hunger and thirst for what is right. And then what God, Jesus says that when you hunger and thirst for these things, you're blessed. You're blessed. See, God wants us to have a hunger and a thirst. He wants us to have a desire for what's right. So that's what righteousness is. How do we move towards it? Here's the practical. How do we move towards it? I want to reframe that question a little bit to help us understand. I think it's not necessarily moving towards it, but I think it might be better asked, what keeps us from being thirsty and hungry for righteousness? Not what can we do, but as I look around in the studying that I've did, personal reflection, spending time with Jesus, is more often what keeps us from being thirsty and hungry for righteousness. What keeps us from tapping into all that God has for us. See, when we started Discovery Church, we realized that we weren't interested in just building a church. We're more interested in building you. I think God's more interested in building me than He is about building Discovery Church. The church is His already. And I want us to be, as pastors, Pastor Sean Lee and I, we want to be more focused on building you and allow God to build His church. So I hope that today, even though we're online, I hope today you take a bigger piece of God away than you have before. And I think a way of doing that is helping us understand what gets in the way of righteousness. Two things I think gets in the way of righteousness. sticking with the hunger and thirst and food comparison, is that the first thing is that we fill up on the wrong things. We fill up on the wrong things. Have you ever maybe forgotten to take lunch when you left home in the morning? And you didn't eat lunch, but you're driving home after a long day of work and you're hungry. And you drive by a McDonald's and you're driving by a McDonald's and you're like, man, it's really close to dinner time, but I'm hungry. So you turn into McDonald's and you go through the drive-thru and you order your Big Mac or your McChicken or your 9-piece nugget meal, whatever your meal of choice would be at McDonald's if you go through the McDonald's drive-thru. And you eat it and your hunger is gone for a moment. And then you pull into your driveway and it's not quite dinner time yet, but you realize when you got home that there's a home-cooked meal ready for you. There's a home-cooked meal, and it's delicious. Maybe even your favorite meal. Maybe your wife or your husband or your mom or your dad or your son or daughter cook this, and it smells so good. And you would like to feast. You would like to eat it, but you can't. Why? Because you're not hungry. You're not hungry. And maybe you sit down because you're like, you don't want to tell your wife that, like, hey, I stopped at McDonald's, I don't want to eat this. You're like, that's just, don't do that, man. Don't do that. Try to force yourself to eat. You know, don't do it. I've done that before and it's not went well. And you try to eat a little bit, but it's still not anything that enjoyable because you're like, I'm actually not hungry. A really good meal is way more enjoyable when you're like, man, I cannot wait to eat. See, often we get filled up on things that satisfy for a moment, that give a false sense of satisfaction, but really quickly it leaves us empty and longing for something else. So we move to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So the question to ask yourself today would be this: what are we filled up on that doesn't satisfy? Where are we trying to find hope? Where are we trying to find purpose in life that doesn't satisfy? Is it another relationship? Is it another job? Is it more education? Is it a substance? Is it more money? What is it? What are you filling up on that actually stands in the way of righteousness? That is this true for this beatitude. I think God is saying, do you hunger and thirst for what is right? Look at your life. What are the things in your life? I'm doing a reflection on my life today. What are the things that are getting in the way of righteousness? And once we identify them things, I would say, it's time for a different meal. It's time for a different meal. So the one thing that gets in the way of righteousness is that we're filling up on the wrong things. The second one is way too common. And I hope as Discovery Church, we can be a part of helping repair some of this. But the second one is that what stands in the way of righteousness is that what we have tasted in the past has been prepared the wrong way. See, for some people watching today or people that you may know, righteousness, godliness, the way of God has been prepared the wrong way. And because it's been prepared the wrong way, it's left a bitter taste in your mouth. And maybe it's been, you know, you've heard about righteousness or tried to show righteousness from a really religious perspective. And you're like, you must do this and you can't do this. And what's happened is actually just driven you away from God because you're like, well, why would he want that? Or maybe you've seen righteousness modeled from an abusive leader, or you've been mistreated, or like I said, infused with religion, rules. And I would say, of course, you're not hungry for God. Because someone or something has misled you to have a bad taste in your mouth. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you just ask them, hey, would you describe God to me? And they start talking about how they think God is or who they think God is. And you're like, are we talking about two different gods? Because that's not my God. And I've had these conversations before. And as they're explaining who they think God is, I look at them and said, of course you wouldn't want to follow God. Of course you wouldn't want to be a Christian because I wouldn't want to be that either. Because somewhere along the way, there's been a bad taste left in somebody's mouth. Psalms 34 and 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's sad to say, but some will never taste and see that the Lord is good. Because they're still living with a bad taste in their mouth. Because the way to faith, the way of relationship, has been prepared in a horrible way. See, it's not religion, it's relationship. And there's a lot of people in our world, maybe some of your friends, some of your family, the way that it's been prepared is religion. For Romans 5, 9 and 8 says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus has made us friends of God. I think that some of us need to not just look at God as our master, even though he is. I think some of us need to have a relationship change and realize he's not just your God. He's not just your master. He's your best friend. He's your best friend. And it's time to taste and see that the Lord is good. So God, today we hunger and we thirst for what is right. God, we ask you to satisfy our hearts and our lives. God, not with physical possessions, not with more unhealthy relationships, not with more education. But God, we ask you to satisfy us with righteousness. Let us hunger and thirst. God, it's a process. And I say this not because I've already obtained, but God, I say this because it's a hunger and thirst of my heart. That God, we would not just fill up on the things that are of this world, but we would fill up on the things of eternity. So God, today, as we take some time to reflect, would you help us have a desire? God, would you help us see where we've filled up? God, would you help us see where we've had a bitter taste in our mouth because it wasn't prepared the right way? And let us see that righteousness, doing what's right, is not something that is like that's a dictatorship that you say, hey, I'm going to force you to do it. God, it's a privilege to live in such a way that's right standing with you. It's what you desire for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Discovery Church, in just a moment, there's going to be reflection questions that will pop up on your screen. And we just encourage you, would you just take 5 minutes? And would you answer them personally, but maybe you're gathering with some friends or family. Would you talk about those questions amongst yourselves? Have some reflection time. Discovery Church, we love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you in person next weekend. Just one thing to be aware of. Serve Day is on July 15th, where we serve our city. We're going to be delivering some bag lunches to our inner city, a few other projects. If you would like to be a part of that, I encourage you, would you jump on our Church Center app and just register for that? But be blessed today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Have an amazing day.